A pet cat was accidentally shipped 650 miles in an Amazon return box. The Louvre Museum considers putting Mona Lisa in the basement. And a retired chiropractor killed an Elvis impersonator by chloroforming him during intercourse. These are the weird stories for Monday on Weird AF News, the only daily weird news podcast in the whole land. Land of the free, home of the brave. A couple accidentally shipped their cat in an Amazon return package hundreds of miles away. This is a Utah couple. They accidentally shipped their pet cat, who they're not naming right here, but I assume eventually the cat will have a name in this story. We'll get to it. For now, the cat doesn't have a name. This couple accidentally shipped their cat that has a name, but we don't know it yet, in an Amazon return package, trapping it in the box without food or water for 6 days. I would hope that it's an accident. You wouldn't send your cat a week without food or water. That'd be pretty cruel. I'm wondering, though, is cat delivery's free on Prime, right? I think it is, so should be fine. They'll get it back without a charge, I assume. Anyone thinking of this reference to Schrodinger's cat? That's a very convoluted concept that I'm not going to get into here. For one, my brain isn't working right, and I don't know if I remember it completely. For two, it would just bore the crap out of you. So moving on. The cat's name is Galena. Oh, so we got a Greek cat on our hands here. Galena was eventually discovered safe and sound in the state of California. 6 days to get to California from Utah. That's very slow shipping, Amazon, considering you can drive from California to Utah in, I don't know, 12 hours, 14 hours. I don't know what kind of route they took. Poor cat. Poor cat Galena. Carrie Clark is one of the cat's owners. This dummy noticed the pet had gone missing. And for about a week, Carrie, along with family and friends, searched the couple's house and neighborhood. They put up missing posters around town, hoping to locate Galena. Here's a quote from Carrie. "Oh, the anxiety, the stress of not knowing what happened to her, what happened to my Galena was excruciating." Not sure why I gave Carrie a Long Island accent. I just thought it would be appropriate. When it comes to, quote, Galena, I'll give her a Greek accent. Clark received a text notifying her Galena's microchip was scanned. Later that day, she received a call from a veterinarian in California. Carrie says, "I couldn't believe her at first. The veterinarian called me. I thought it was a total prank. I really did." The veterinarian told Carrie the cat was found inside an Amazon return package alongside five pairs of steel-toed work boots. Ooh, steel-toed work boots. Those are dangerous passengers to be shipped with. They knock around, you're going to get smashed by a steel-toed work boot. This poor cat, man. Question, though, how do we not know that this could have been an escape attempt by the cat that's now been failed by a tracking device? Poor cat, maybe he's trying to get away from these morons who obviously don't give a damn about the cat. How do you not know the cat's in the box? How do you not know? Ah, maybe the cat sneaks in there when you're packing it up. Maybe. But then, eventually, the box is sitting there. You don't hear any sounds from it. All right, let's assume that the box didn't sit there. Let's assume that you just taped it up and you immediately brought it to the drop-off place or the shipping place. How, in transit, do you not know the cat's in the box? How does the cat not shift around or make a noise? I find it very hard to believe is all I'm saying. So I don't know what's going on here. Maybe these people are just really, really senseless. I sternly advise these couples not to move up to a human baby. So the cat was discovered by an Amazon employee who found her in a warehouse, took her to the vet. Carrie and her husband flew to California to be reunited with their cat. "It was an amazing reunion. Galena instantly stopped shaking and relaxed in my arms when I got to hold her again. Despite being skinnier and some mild dehydration, her blood work was completely normal. She was completely unharmed." Carrie says that she hopes this story inspires all pet owners to microchip their pets. Yes, you should microchip your pets, certainly, especially if you're dumb. You're one of these people that lose like two iPhones a year. Please microchip your pet, microchip your baby as well. A cat microchip typically costs between $40 and $70, in case you're wondering. And so it's very affordable. Get it done. Probably hurts, but you got to do it anyways. I don't know if it hurts. I assume it hurts. I think they stick it up the cat's butt. So that's going to be, it's going to be rough. By the way, Amazon needs to make this movie, but who voices the cat? Who voices? Is it Eddie Murphy, guys? What do you put in your votes? The Louvre Museum considers moving the Mona Lisa underground to end public disappointment. My family moved me to the basement for this exact same reason. I feel you, Mona Lisa. The story begins, I should say, the article begins with a story. When I took my mother back to Paris for her first visit in nearly 5 decades, there was no question we would go to the Louvre. I was more surprised that she wanted to stand in that long line to see the Mona Lisa just for a few seconds. Standing in that long line just to take a picture and a selfie with the famous painting. It says, this experience is often annoying, apparently. Very disappointing for tourists. One recent analysis of 18,000 reviews said the Renaissance portrait is, quote, the world's most disappointing masterpiece. Well, I've heard it's very small, and there's always a crowd around it. I've never been, but I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't queue for 2 hours to see that little thing. I would just enjoy the rest of the museum. There's, like, it's stocked with masterpieces from the greats. Why wouldn't you just cut that hour or whatever that you're waiting for the Mona Lisa and see some other stuff? I mean, we've all seen the damn thing, right? I don't see the big hubbub. It says here, Da Vinci's iconic image of an almost smiling woman is protected by bulletproof anti-reflective glass, along with tightly controlled temperature and humidity settings to ensure the painting's conservation. Yeah, of course. In an effort to remedy the situation that they have on their hands here, the Mona Lisa may be moved to an underground chamber, according to a report. Moved to the chamber because of the crowding that's going on around it, or to control the temperature? Are people trying to vandalize it? I mean, you got it in bulletproof glass. I think you're pretty good. And I don't understand why they want to move it to the chamber. I assume it's because of the crowd. Let's keep reading. The Louvre director, Lawrence Descartes. Oh, my. Can you imagine the pompous ass that this guy is? The director of the Louvre has got to be such a pompous ass. He ends everything like, yes, I'm the director of the Louvre. Haven't you been to see the Mona Lisa? That's how this person talks, I assume. Lawrence recently suggested the relocation of this popular artwork to a dedicated room constructed in the institution's basement is a possibility. Here's a quote from him. Oh, I get to do an impression of him. We don't welcome visitors very well in this room, so we feel we're not doing our job properly. Moving the Mona Lisa to a separate room could put an end to all this public disappointment. We've been thinking about it for a long time, but this time everyone is in agreement. It's a large room, and the Mona Lisa is at the back, behind its security glass, so at first glance it looks like a postage stamp. Says here, the Louvre receives 9 million visitors annually, and according to museum officials, the Mona Lisa is the main attraction for 80% of those people. During especially busy days, 250,000 people stand in the same line to see this painting. Can you imagine? 250,000 people? Oh my goodness. I would just skip it, bro. Just skip it. The painting's popularity has prompted other attempts to improve the viewing experience, including a repainting of the gallery's walls from eggshell yellow to midnight blue in 2019, as well as a shift in the queuing system for the visitors. Just like put it in a dome and blow it up 500 times, you know, just have people come around that way. Everybody will see it real quick and get out, you know, because it'll be huge. Or just, I don't know, put in some kind of conveyor belt where everyone just stands on it and it just takes you past it. And then you get to see it for as long as the belt goes past the Mona Lisa. You get to take that selfie or the picture, whatever you need to do to let everybody know that you went to Paris, even though that's the only damn thing you saw in the museum. I don't know. It's like the crab legs at the buffet. It's just like everyone's lining up for the crab legs. Just skip it, man. just go back to it later. Or there's other stuff that you can eat. I don't get it. Now, the the guy who's the manager of the Louvre here says the impact of social media and mass tourism means a greater effort is required, especially after the artwork's celebrity has risen after its theft in 1911. I don't think we remember about the theft in 1911, bro. That doesn't have anything to do with what's going on. You were spot on with the social media, though. But how many of you knew it was stolen in 1911? Who's even alive from that time it was stolen? No one cares, man. Here's another quote from the guy. In this day and age, you have to have seen something that everyone is talking about at least once in your life. And the Mona Lisa is clearly one of those must-sees. Yeah, not for me. The pyramids in Giza, that's a must-see. The Mona Lisa, it's one of his lesser works. I mean, it really is. If we're being honest, there's so much better stuff to see in the Louvre, I'd imagine. I would totally love to go there. And I wouldn't even go anywhere near the Mona Lisa. Okay, anyways, they're talking about this new underground chamber for the painting that would be part of the future Grand Louvre renovation. With a new entrance to the museum, visitors would bypass the glass pyramid entry and be led directly to underground rooms, one for the Mona Lisa and the other for temporary exhibitions. So we'll see if it happens if they put this girl in the basement. I feel bad for her, really. She doesn't deserve that kind of treatment, but, you know, for whatever reason, everybody needs to see her. You know. Oh, the article ends with this juicy detail. The Mona Lisa was the site of a protest in January after activists threw pumpkin soup at it. The painting suffered no damage because it's covered in thick bulletproof glass. I don't know what you're going to accomplish with that, but pumpkin soup, that's an odd choice. I wonder how they fell on that. It's one of my favorite soups, but it's hard to find and it's not cheap. I mean, unless you make it yourself. I mean, of all the soups you're going to toss, that's just maybe symbolically the pumpkin stands for something that was part of their protest message. Anyone want to look that up? It's like maybe it's got a Halloween message. Get your pumpkin flavored Mona Lisa for the holiday season.
Yay!
A retired chiropractor kills an Elvis impersonator by chloroforming him more than once during sex. Wow, Mad Libs are getting very dark these days, I have to say. Retired chiropractor, we have an Elvis impersonator, we have chloroform during sex. There's a lot to unpack here. And a fetish involved. We're going to learn a lot. Let's see. I'm just going to try and do the best I can here. A retired chiropractor from New York is facing manslaughter charges after he allegedly killed an Elvis Presley impersonator by chloroforming him during sex. The old chloroforming during sex. This is some kind of like breathing kink. What's going on here? I guess it's if you want to take choking up a notch, you bring in some chloroform. I don't understand it exactly. We have Ronald Raher, age 69. He is the chiropractor. I told you, never trust chiropractors. He's accused of restraining and binding Mr. Thomas Creeder, age 40, and then administering a dangerous dose of chloroform more than one time. It keeps saying more than one time. More than one time. Okay, got it. More than one time. During the sexual encounter, which led to his death, according to the court documents. Isn't this the same way the real Elvis died? Just kidding. He died. What was he eating? A chicken pot pie on the toilet? Something like that. Was it pumpkin soup? Could it be? Was it kebabs? He was eating kebabs. I think he was eating kebabs. 4 days after Creeder's death, the Elvis impersonator, the chiropractor, Mr. Raher, went to the Saratoga County Sheriff's Office and reported that his body was in the basement of his Milton home. 4 days, sir? What were you doing during those 4 days? I don't think I want to know. You have strange sexual proclivities. I'm going to guess not so great stuff was going on. Mr. Raher was arrested and charged with second-degree manslaughter and evidence tampering for allegedly removing Creeder's things from the crime scene. It is unclear where Mr. Raher got the chloroform. Well, he's a doctor. Sort of. Jonesy, a chiropractor is not a doctor. I know. Probably got some doctor friends, though, maybe. You can get chemicals when you got doctor friends. I wish I had doctor friends. I'd like to get some chemicals. Investigators say the two had known each other for many years, and both the sexual encounter and the chloroform use appeared to be consensual. Kreider, who went by the stage name TJ Green, and who also worked as a tour guide for a local Star Trek museum in Ticonderoga, did I say that right? Ticonderoga, went missing when he last spoke to his wife, Heidi Green, last Friday. Ooh, he's got a wife. Probably doesn't know that he likes to do the old chloroform with naked men kind of thing. So sad. This poor lady. Can you imagine? Got kids? I hope not. Miss Green, age 42, reported him missing to the Ticonderoga police. I like saying that word, Ticonderoga. Is there a race that goes on at Ticonderoga? It should. Because you want to be like, the Ticonderoga, the annual Ticonderoga. What would it be a race of? Toboggans? Yeah. The toboggan race. The national toboggan race at the Ticonderoga. Oh, yeah, he won the Ticonderoga in 2018. 4 years running. Anyways, the lady called the police, and she reported that her husband left Friday to pick up a free box spring from a person in return for moving some furniture. Well, you shouldn't let your husband go pick up free box springs either off Craigslist. That's not a good way to, you'll lose your husband that way too, but no, this is a different way, but still. She goes on to have some quotes about what a wonderful person he is. I assume he was probably pretty great. He was an Elvis impersonator, and he worked as a tour guide at the Star Trek Museum. I mean, probably chock full of personality, happy guy, you know, had dreams to be an actor, but that didn't work out. Maybe he had a band that failed, but still, you know, still doing it, still making a living with his talent, which is not easy to do. Your host can attest to that. And then having it all go away like that because of some strange kink, you know? I mean, I don't know why these people get into this stuff. They cut off their own genitalia. I'll never understand it. I see a lot of these stories on the podcast, but I still can't get my head around what makes people want to do these things. Now it says here, Thomas is being survived by his many, many loved ones, many of the people whose lives he touched with his great energy and compassion and his talent as a performer. Whether he was wearing sequins as Elvis or whether he was guiding a Star Trek tour. Very sad to lose a colorful character like this, obviously. I feel bad for the families and the friends. I don't know how to end this on a happy note, except for to say I played Elvis once in a short film. Yeah, let's get it off that topic, the sadness, and go to something lighter where I got to play Elvis and I sang a couple songs. What ones did I sing? I can't remember. You know, I'll post this in the Patreon. I'll post. Can you upload a... I think I can upload the full movie in there. I'll put it up in there. It's pretty wild. Yeah, I play an Elvis impersonator who kills himself at a party. Sorry. Here I am trying to take it to a funny place. I didn't realize when I got into my own Elvis story that it also ends with Elvis dying. That was a really fun thing to do, though, was to shoot myself on camera. I never really did that before with a professional stunt person. So that was pretty fun. I got to do that myself. And I only had one take because we only had one bullet. So, and your boy made it work. Anyways, I'll figure out a way to put that in the Patreon. I love you guys. I love you very much. Tell everybody around you that you love them. All right? Make sure you do that, okay? Yay! Thanks, everybody, for the birthday wishes and reaching out to me over the weekend, checking in on me. Concerns about my health, etc. All very touching. So I just want to let you know how much I appreciate that. As horrible as the birthday was, I'm feeling a little better. And we're moving on with the podcast. And we're giving thanks and praise because people bought me some coffees for my birthday. Christy K bought me coffees for my birthday. Kirsty, longtime listener of the show. She's called the show before. Kirsty wrote, happy belated 420 and happy birthday, Jonesy. Enjoy the rest of your travels. Love you loads, you weirdo. Isn't that a sweet, short, sweet message? Love that. Chef Ryan, always supportive. Chef Ryan, always getting me at the right time during the holidays, hooking me up. He bought me coffees too. He wrote, happy birthday. Go out and get some fun at a ping pong show. I would like to get to a ping pong show eventually, man, as soon as my head stops pounding. Okay, then Char bought me bought coffee for me. Char could be short for Charlotte or Charlie. Char wrote, happiest of birthdays to you, Jonesy. I hope you were able to celebrate even though you weren't feeling well. We appreciate you continuing your podcast, making us laugh when you may not be feeling funny AF right now. Hugs and high fives. Well, hugs and high fives to you guys too, you and the whole family. I think there's multiple people on the other side of that. Krista Cram, longtime listener of the show, has bought me coffee before. Krista Cram bought me coffees for my birthday, wrote me happy belated birthday, Jonesy, from one of your favorite Newfoundlanders in the house. She says, over here in the Atlantic Ocean. Haha. Just getting around to listening to the Florida Friday episode. I realize I missed it. Hope you're feeling better. Hope you can get a fancy birthday coffee on me, or a joint, or a beer. Whatever will cure what ails you. Thanks for all the laughs, even when you're not well. Love and appreciate you and all you do. Super glad you were born and exist. That's really sweet. That makes me very teary-eyed to read things like that. Thank you so much. Feel very touched. I didn't get a coffee. I got an ice cream. I got a big thing of ice cream for my birthday. That's how I celebrated it. Ice cream. Why not? Couldn't really find a cake at 7-Eleven, so got the ice cream going, which is pretty cool. Big shout out to Connie from Georgia, Connie Fortune. She sent me an email with a happy birthday and notification that I'm getting a couple of gifts via Amazon. I hope there's a cat in there. That would be pretty sweet. Although, no, because then I won't be home for a bit. I can have my roommate take care of the cat until I get there. Anyways, I'm looking at one of the items is 100 grand bars, which are my favorite candy bar, as you know. I've received 100 grand bars before from multiple people, I think. I think Connie did send me 100 grands before, too. Or was it Michael? Someone did. Roman gave me some 100 grand bars in person when I met him in Dallas. I'll never forget that. A whole bag of 100 grand that I ate in my hotel room every day. It was pretty cool. Also got someone joined the Patreon. Wow, this is just great. All this birthday support making me not feel so crappy. Christine Austin just became a Patreon member. So Christine joins the Patreon and right around my birthday. So I assume this is your happy birthday to me. So thank you so much, Christine Austin, for becoming a member of the Patreon and supporting Weird AF News. It's the support that I get that continues to surprise me and make me grateful. And I'm just so humbled. And so thank you so much. Please enjoy the extra content that's in the Patreon as well. I've been putting some stuff in there. Some of it personal about my trip. And I'll see about getting that Elvis movie in there. Maybe, have I posted it in there before? I might have. No, I don't think so. Because it's not in the public domain. They're keeping it private. I can upload it to my YouTube and then link it, I think. They won't know. Anyways, I'm gonna figure that out so that you guys can watch it. It's pretty cool. I screw up the ending of the film. I'm supposed to do this monologue that's like 5 minutes long, right? And they shot it at the very end, and they only gave me two takes to nail it. And it was a long day, and they had sprayed me with water, and I was laying on the cold grass when I had to do the monologue. And so I was just so uncomfortable and exhausted, and I just couldn't, I didn't nail it. And so when you watch it, it's kind of, the monologue at the end is wonky, but I needed a couple more takes. I needed it. Like they had to wrap it up though. They were over budget or whatever the hell it was. But I was like shivering on the ground, and it couldn't stay warm, and it was just so distracting, and I just couldn't nail that long monologue. It was too long too. I was begging him to cut it up. Can we please do this in two takes? Just can we cut it in half? Anyways, the things you, I mean, I'm a very good actor, but you know, even I can be tested. I know my limits. Anyways, good luck with your life, man.